Steve Quirk. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Israel's warning Hamas it's only started with an offensive in the Gaza Strip and intends to use enormous force. The country's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu's told his citizens he'll do everything for those taken hostage in Gaza. Labour leader Sir Keir Starmer will set his sights on at least two terms in power when he addresses his party's conference later today. He'll vow to rescue the country, which he says has been ruined by 13 years of Conservative rule. It's World Mental Health Day. The theme this year is Mental Health is a Universal Human Right. The Mr. Men and Little Miss book collection are unveiling a series of new titles to help parents talk to their kids about their emotions. Children's clinical psychologist Dr. Elizabeth Kilby says things in the book can be translated into real life situations.
That's an opportunity to say, hang on a minute, I think you're feeling a bit cross. You know, do you remember when Mr. Men and Little Miss were telling us about how they felt cross about things and what did they try and what could we try? And it's just that opportunity to bring that in and to start that conversation, but definitely we want that rolling forward to everyday life.
From Radio News Hub, I'm Andy Hoyle.
Tonight's EuroMillions jackpot is £14 million.
Now that calls for a dance, Dermot.
Do I have to?
You can limbo. That's it.
Oh, thanks. Just call me Dermot Olimbo.
Very good.
Get that EuroMillions feeling tonight. EuroMillions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot, account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
If you've had a cough for 3 weeks or more, don't just ignore it. A cough that lasts 3 weeks or more could be a sign of cancer. It's probably nothing serious, but finding cancer early makes it more treatable. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice. Help us help you.
Peacock USA Easy Cook Rice are giving away 10% extra. Peacock USA Easy Cook Long Grain Rice is easy to cook, giving you consistent quality and fluffy separate grains every time. Peacock USA Easy Cook Rice has a subtle flavor, making it an excellent accompaniment to many of your favorite dishes. Great for jollof rice or jerk chicken. Enjoy Peacock USA Rice now with 10% extra. Easy cooking, easy eating, every time. Offer available while stocks last. Promotion supported by USA Rice.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you're connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. We are coming to you from wherever you are, from the heart of London to wherever you are, on Colorful Radio. Join us in today's show. We have a lot to share. Today is the annual health conference, and I'm with Ghanaian Doctors and Dentists Association in the UK. And from here, a lot will be shared. Of course, our key focus is in today's function, our focus in today's function, signing of MOU between GDDA UK, which is Ghanaian Doctors Dentist Association, and Medical and Dental Council of Ghana. The coming together, the signing together, means these two will begin to work together and, of course, to improve the health in Ghana as a whole. The collaboration is meant to be a game changer, and it will see a lot from diaspora Ghanaian doctors and dentists from the diaspora giving back to Ghana through a known framework. So today is a very big day, and I'll start by talking to these wonderful doctors, wonderful people with a mission to give back to Ghana, but also those who are from Ghana to this conference today will also have their say. So join me. I'll start by talking to all of them.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you.
Good morning.
For giving us this opportunity to talk to us. Of course, great event. Just maybe start by introducing yourself and your role in it.
My name is George Brown. I'm a dentist. I also am quite active in trying to expand dental education in Ghana, for which I hold another role, which is the Director of Academic Affairs for City of London Dental School. My interest here is looking at how dentistry in Ghana can be made more accessible to everybody, be they in the city or in the rural areas, and how we can empower the young dentists in Ghana to do more.
Have you been practicing for a long time in the UK, and perhaps what has been your experience?
I trained here in the UK, and I've been practicing in the UK since 1990. But I also practice in Ghana, and I also practice in the US. So I have my feet in three different continents. And my experience is that dentistry is being everywhere, obviously at different levels. Ghana has a long way to go, one, because of patients' expectations, and two, because they have no access. I mean, I don't know if you know, but the maximum number of dentists Ghana will have will be 600, with a population of 31 plus million. If you take UK, for instance, UK has a population of 71 million and about 59,000 dentists, and we say we are short. And the WHO expects the ratio of 1 to 7,500, which is an underestimation. So when you start looking at those figures for Ghana, then you realize how stark it is. On that basis, a few of us form a charity that we call Smile for Ghana. And every year we go to Ghana, to the rural areas, to deliver free dental care.
Well, the statistics there are very much telling. When you do any comparison, you see, yeah, there's a long way to go. So perhaps are you doing things practically to change the status quo in Ghana?
Well, I mean, practically, if you talk about me personally, I've set up a clinic in Ghana which is set up to the same standards as any high-end clinic in the UK. One. Two, as I said earlier, a group of us have formed a charity called Smile for Ghana that goes to Ghana. And three, I'm here to meet the movers and shakers with a view of seeing how they can help us expand, I'll call it, middle-level training for young qualified dentists, so they, as I said earlier again, so they can deliver more for the population.
Thank you very much for your time. And of course, the last question will be, with your engagement, with what you have done, right now where we are, is it an optimistic future, or do you see still challenges ahead?
The future is always bright. Ghanaians will always rise to the occasion. And no matter what people say, Ghana is developing gradually. And in the current world where dentistry is linked to general health, the only way is forward.
Nice to meet you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's been a wonderful event this morning. We will introduce perhaps for this year, so tell us a bit more about it. You know, what to expect today.
Well, my name is Dr. Pamela Abanohinijan. I am a dental surgeon and an educationist, and I am the secretary of the Ghanaian Doctors and Dentists Association UK. So today's momentous and historic, and I say that because we are actually signing a major collaboration with the Ghanaian Doctors and Dentists Regulatory Body, that is the Medical and Dental Council Ghana. And this has been long-term coming. It's been about 15 years. We've been very patient, and we've been tolerant, and it's gone through all the processes, but we've eventually got here. So we're excited about it. And indeed, there are a lot of people championing this, not just the Ghanaian doctors and dentists, but from today's people here, you can tell that the government is behind it and they're backing it fully by way of the Parliamentary Select Committee Chair of Health in here. We also have our High Commissioner, who's also really championing this. All the members from the regulatory body are here. We have the academics here from the medical and dental schools of Ghana. And we also have the academics from the Ghana Physicians and Ghana College of Physicians and Surgeons. And so we're looking to increase we're looking to join in by going to Ghana and give back to help with the healthcare force by expanding it in our own way, either face-to-face or do some collaborative work actually by online methods. We're looking to increase our research capacity by going back to help support that as well. And then to train and use all our skills that we've developed in the UK to help improve and extend what we're doing in Ghana.
And of course, a very major objective is to improve. Right now, of course, before the engagement, you know, how is it? Is it why is there a need to collaborate? Is it born out of the challenges that you see, or maybe how does that look like after the engagement?
Okay, so presently, we all do individual supporting. We go, so myself, for example, I'm a part-time lecturer, adjunct lecturer, that I go to the dental school every year to go and lecture and to do some clinics there. Many other colleagues are doing the same. But what we're doing now is we're structuring it. We have a structure, we have a pathway, we have people who have witnessed it, so that when we go to Ghana, not simply ad hoc an individual, we are a recognized body as the Ghanaian Doctors and Dentists Association. We go to them, they fully know who we are, they open the pathway, they're more receptive, and this is what makes the difference here between now and having signed this collaborative contract.
I suppose maybe there could be exchange programs coming between Ghana and UK. Is that the way it may look like?
Oh, there's certainly that. See, this is going to be quite open-ended. So we're going to have maybe some of their residents coming over to do some work over here as in electives and exchange programs. And we can have some of ours also going from here, UK to Ghana, to also do these programs. We're looking at setting up conferences, so academic conferences, where, say, once a year, we would gather a few specialists in UK who would go to Ghana and set up maybe a 3-day conference for teaching and skill transfers in Ghana. So yes, there's going to be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing back and forth both ways, yes.
And is it just purely focused on dentistry, or is a bit open-ended when it comes to health sector?
Oh, it's all of the health sector. We need all the help in all specialist areas, in the whole of the health sector. So be it ops and gyne, pediatrics, GIT, the specialist in cardiothoracics. It's in general all-round healthcare work.
That's fantastic. Now when it kicks off, how do you see the future looking like? You expect changes, you expect challenges?
We expect a bit of both, because you don't expect to do something this great without any challenges. Yes, we have the heads of the various collaborative faculties, etc., over here. But they are not the ones that we're going to meet. We're going to go down and meet the people who actually work on the ground. And it's always a challenge. You go and, well, hopefully this would pave the way and make it easier and make people more receptive to us coming in. And we also see it as a great thing simply because this is almost a currency to say we can walk here and say, look, this is the mandate we've got and we are here to support. It is purely in a supportive role and no more than that.
Okay, thank you. It's a noble cause and you're doing great work. Keep doing the good work.
Thank you very much, Julius. Good to meet you again.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Boom. Great event here. Can you just start by introducing yourself and what you do?
Right. My name is Professor Sam Debo. I'm currently president of the Ghana College of Physicians and Surgeons.
And what does this event mean to you, this collaboration between doctors and husbands?
It brings back memory because I'm a classic example of one of the diasporans going back to Ghana and through the system to get to the highest bit that I can achieve. So it brings back nostalgic memories from when I was working in the UK. I worked in the UK for 27 years. And now I've been back from the UK for 30 years now. So really very mixed feelings.
Wow, so new collaboration that is being launched today will make a difference.
Exactly so. In so many aspects, we can rely on the diasporans as an external faculty back home. And these days, if we didn't learn any lessons from the pandemic, what we did have is the possibility of using Zoom now everywhere. So it makes it a lot easier for the diasporans to communicate with those of us at home. And when we enter into such conversations as we are having now with the diasporans, it brings really structures. So it becomes not just a one-off event, but it becomes continuous engagement of all the various faculties. So this is a very crucial meeting that we are having today.
Oh, well, thank you for the great work that you are doing, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
My name is Gabriel. I am a medical doctor licensed to practice in Ghana and the US, and I am here to support my colleagues in the UK.
What do you make of the event today? Because it's been very well attended.
Well, this is a very historic event because those of us that practice medicine overseas have always been looking for opportunities to support healthcare delivery in Africa. And so for the Medical and Dental Council, together with all the regulators and the stakeholders in Ghana, to pave the way for our colleagues here in the UK to be able to practice in Ghana and also to support training of physicians and specialists in Ghana, that is physicians and dentists in Ghana, is really a monumental feat, and we are very happy to be part of the process.
How do you compare UK vis-a-vis US?
I think it has its unique advantages and challenges. I would say we have to look at it from a perspective of how we can work together instead of the differences between us, right? Different political systems, different socioeconomic dynamics. But the most important thing is that those of us who have traveled overseas may have acquired skills and experiences and perspectives that when we come together, we can complement each other and be able to provide support to the healthcare system back home.
Over the years, because of immigration issues, different countries in Africa, we have seen a lot of drain. What we call this new initiative?
Well, some call it brain gain, some call it brain circulation. I simply call it a much-needed collaboration. I think when you look at it from a more holistic perspective, there is nothing wrong with people going to other places to seek opportunities that they may not have in their home countries, right? What is most important is that it should not be to the disadvantage of the home country. And if we are able to travel overseas, support the healthcare systems of other countries, and there is no opportunity for us to give back to our home countries, then our motherlands or our home countries are losing. Because no amount of money we send back can replace the skill set that the country has lost. So this opportunity for us to actually be able to participate in healthcare delivery in Ghana, as the example we are talking about, becomes very important and becomes a win-win for both nations, right? And so the hope is that someday to come, everybody that is leaving the shores of Ghana to seek what quote-unquote greener pastures will also have the reassurance and the confidence that when the time is right for that individual, they can seamlessly reintegrate back home and support the systems back home. That is where I think we need to be working towards.
Colorful radio.
Colorful radio.
Earlier on, you heard me talking to different doctors and dentists from Ghanaian Doctors and Dentists Association UK, but of course also from those who have come from Ghana. But in the next phase, we are going to listen to a panel discussion, which will be shared by Dr. Pamela Jan from
exactly what it means to have this MOU signed. I know a lot of people have got burning questions because we've had a lot of questions come through and we've said, hold your horses, there'll be an opportunity for you to ask all the questions. The good thing is that we have a diverse group here from government, academia, registration bodies. So everybody has a role to play and I guess every question, hopefully, would get answered. Now, I'll just go through from my left. So we've got Professor Richard Adanu at the end on the left there, who is a rector of the Ghana College of Physicians and Surgeons. We've got next to him Professor Deborah, who's already been introduced. And we've got Dr. William Kijani as well, already introduced. Myself, already introduced. We've got Dr. Bernard Miller, who's also, yes, already introduced. And then we also have Honourable in our midst. We have the Honourable Dr. Nana Ayu Afriye, who is the chairperson of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health. So we have the politicians here as well. And then at the very end, we have our lady professor who's come all the way from Ghana, who is also a dental surgeon. So she is Professor Sandra Hewlett, who is a professor of dentistry. And she has a master's degree in restorative dentistry from the University of London. She has a fellowship in restorative, in prosthodontics from the West African College of Surgeons, a fellowship in restorative dentistry from the Ghana College of Physicians and Surgeons. She has a PhD in public health. She's written extensively in peer review journals, and she's written chapters in books. So ladies and gentlemen, this is our panel. I was debating as to who I should direct the first question to, but as I came here, the synergy, the spirit of the place has just led me to say, I'll just take it as I feel is necessary. So I suppose I could start with the first question to say, in everybody's individual sector, individual roles specifically, how do you see the impact of this MOU that we've signed today? And I'll address the first question. I will direct to President William Kijani of GDDA.
Yes. Thank you very much. As we said, and as I've also said in my speech, over the years, we've been doing work in Ghana, you know, individuals, two-man, three-man persons, both in the medical and dental fields. We've gone around the country, so it's not just Accra. But what has happened is, as some of you, the older ones, will remember, we went as a group in 2008 and even 2010, to go and do charitable work. Now, the 2 weeks that we had, most of the time, the first week was spent just trying to get, you know, the certification, proper accreditation, to be able to go into hospitals and work. So if you look at it from that point of view, then our going down was not very effective, because we only did, strictly speaking, a week's work, work in the hospitals. So operations were crammed in Accra, and that time those who went to Cape Coast were the same, then those who went to Sunyani and Kumasi. And the second time around, it was the same. So we felt that this is not a very effective way to be able to render service back in Ghana. The bottleneck was 2 months. The bureaucracy was 2 months. Some of you, the older ones, will remember a name, Dr. Atikwi. He was the then registrar of medical and dental council. In fact, if I would say, he is one of the executives from Ghana who has been to most of our meetings in the UK. But unfortunately, this job was not done until Divine came. So now, having rectified this MOU, the pathway has been made. So the excuse that when I go to Ghana or when I want to register, you know, it's difficult, I have to sit an exam, I have to do this, all of that, from today, that excuse doesn't hold. So we are very grateful for this. It's opened the way for us. The bureaucracy has been cut. And leaving here today, those of you who will be going as individuals, two-man groups, will have to coalesce and go as a large GDD umbrella group. So we thank you all for this MOU that has been ratified today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we can ask the rector of the Ghana College of Physicians and Surgeons, Professor Richard Adenin, what impact you see this MOU having in your sector.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of impact, what impact will this have on the postgraduate medical education in Ghana? I'll say the impact will be big, but that's an easy thing to say, because the impact will be zero if nobody takes advantage of it. So the thing that we need to do, I'm probably going to talk about the thing that we need to do, because you say that the impact will be greatest, that talk. But the action is that we who are members of the Ghana Doctors and Dentists Association need to organize ourselves so that the impact is great. One of the things that we're doing in the area of postgraduate medical education currently is that we're working to decentralize the training. I mean, up to this point, the bulk of the training is happening in Kolobo and Konfirmachi British hospitals. And we've begun working actively to get training established in Ghana Health Service facilities in other regions outside this big hospital. So on July 1st of this year, we started fellowship training.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Good morning, everyone. Sorry, because of traffic, I was not here to witness the historic MOU. But what I'd like to do is whether we can extend the diaspora definition. The reason I say that was about 10 years ago, I'm a breast surgeon, by the way. I was taking a team of plastic surgeons to Colombia to go and operate. They were providing their own fare, paying their passage, everything. And the difficulty was with the registration. At the time, they were required to pay about $400 each for 2 weeks. My problem is we need to be able to transfer knowledge. Medicine has become so complex. We can have neurosurgeons, laparoscopic surgeons, so that it should not be limited to only graduates. But if you do have somebody working in a hospital with a team of doctors who are prepared to go to Ghana, is there another way we can incorporate them into this exercise? Thank you.
Thank you. Good question. I think we'll direct the question to Dr. Divine.
Thank you very much for your question. As far from our end, our understanding of the diaspora definition is not restrictive, actually. It's very inclusive, not only limited to Ghanaian doctors or doctors of Ghanaian origin, but your affiliates and other persons interested in supporting training, research, and high-end service delivery in Ghana. So I think that that is sort of covered. The other component is that credentialing and licensure is a process that has to be paid for. And how much you pay, we do with activity-based budgeting. And all, we can't charge anything outside that which Parliament has approved. So currently, temporary licenses are $759 CD equivalent. So there are no shortcuts, because I'm limited, that is a statutory fee. Now, why the benefit of this arrangement is that with the MOU, already factored into that is an automatic 50% reduction. In fact, let me put it on record that the submission from North America and here was 30% fee reduction. But our board committed to support moved it to 50%. So you find that part of the benefits of coming through this is 50% reduction. The second component is that because it has to be paid for, if you come through these formal processes and it is Director General is here and it is one of his hospitals and you have come through the formal process, he will find means of getting the hospital to pay, because remember, you are providing specialist service to the hospital in addition to the skills transfer. That is why if you just come in on your own, my law is $759. No, it's not that. You want a permanent register, you sit at my exam, just as I would do in the UK here, or I do in America, or New Zealand. And remember, in Ghana, we are struggling to benchmark best practices here. And we are committed to building professionalism and strengthening our institutions, which means that medical professional standards must be formalized and standardized. And I don't expect anything less in Ghana than you will have in the UK or in America. It's the reason why I sit on the board of directors of the International Association of Medical Regulatory Authorities, together with GMC, together with my counterparts from Canada, Federal States Medical Board, New Zealand, and Australian regulators, including South Africa, India, and Indonesia. And next month we'll be in Indonesia to look at regulatory issues, especially with artificial intelligence. So yes, those things are covered, but the value of the MOU is that please come through the association, and a lot of what you used to have as individual challenges will be completely removed within the limitations of our legislative framework.
Thank you. So to add to it, I'm sure that you will have this perspective. My understanding of impact is a measure of outcome to objective. If I'm right. Okay, so therefore you won't get a lot of people who believe in helping Ghana, to associate with a great association for us in Ghana to also demonstrate our language and service. In North America, assuming I think made a proposal of the Vice Governor for this in the Ministry of Health. Yeah. So Dr. Kuma is here. I think that going towards inclusion, as we said, walking the talk. Now that the Kuma is here, Prof is here, Divine is here. Well, I think in media, we're looking only at the perspective of the Vice Governor, Medical Corps, or NTS, and the Ministry of Health. Well, until that is come, that comes, and then you get a policy that will guide maybe a certain law, blah, blah, blah. They can create units. So then there will be that synergy as a project. So I suggest to you, Divine, I'm sure you're asking to you and see everybody, but it will be a desk. The desk that's taking care of this sort of project. Dr. Kwaji, I also expect as you speak, there must be a desk at the Ghana Health Service that is for the diaspora. And Prof, you also know the coordination. There must be an officer of you that is coordinated. Together you can form this sort of a committee that eventually will find you yourself. And it's so easy for people to come. So they don't struggle to get where they want to go. You can always advise them and you can direct them that here is available for you, here is available for you. So you do what will benefit us and not what you want to do, because you think you come from Golu, therefore you should go to Golu. Where you think that you have to go to for that time, that person. Do you get this? So I think those units should be, as we are talking, we should set them up and get that sort of team. Then it's quite easy to operationalize it. We'll solve the problems as we work it out, things will work out. Yeah.
Thank you very much and good morning. Apologies for coming in late. There was some miscommunication and I was also in some other meetings, so I decided to wait and participate in this. I agree with Honorable Free. I think the challenge we've had as a service, I mean to go back as a service, we are probably the most
beneficiary of your service, whether training or whether rendering direct services. And like Dr. Fuye said, the lack of coordination is a problem. Sometimes you will hear there's a team in Hong Kong doing surgery, nobody knows about them, they are unregistered. And let me tell you, now Ghanaians have become very litigant. And so if you don't take care, one small case can lead to several. We had a few of such. I mean, surgery or anything can go wrong. And so this coordination is important. We have places where we know that these are areas where service are needed. And on top of my head, talk about OT, where they have the lowest access to care, Western, North, Savannah, and other places. And within the so-called elite regions, there are districts where access is very poor and certain services are needed. As a service, one of the things we are doing is trying to get specialization in some of our districts. So we have almost 190 district hospitals or examples. And people are having to move for secondary care or tertiary care very far away. One of our aims to do is that in some of the strategic district hospitals, we establish some specialist center so that people don't have to always move too far away to the nearest tertiary or secondary level facility. And so your services will be very helpful, not only in rendering service, but also building the capacity for us. For fellowship, like Paul was saying, you don't really need to be moving to Kalibu or Kofanachi. One of the greatest challenges is that everybody moves to Kalibu or Kofanachi, and then there's nobody to back home. And unfortunately, sometimes when you get used to Accra, going back to Africa, the other thing and challenge is probably solving it by centralizing training to the region. So we are working towards getting more, including the hospital. So I think your role will be very key in providing care, whether physical nowadays, even remote care, remote support is available. And I think we are ready to work with you. Like I said, anytime there's such a team, we have that coordination with the form. We have usually been found way where we're getting a 50% discount before they move on behalf, and then we got them to pay the facility to pay the remaining 50%. But we don't think it is fair that we're coming to render service and we are asking you to make such payments. And so I believe that is something that we can offer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We've got 81 students.
Can I get the High Commissioner? Get a High Commissioner. If you get a High Commissioner,
well, almost. Periodically, you get a team from the UK.
To the letter B.
Some Ghanaians are involved. Other times, they are not involved. They want to go to Ghana, etc. They came to update the arrangements.
It's helpful.
And the feedback on their attempt is frustration. So, I mean, it's good hearing from you, but as the Ghana High Commission, we don't even know the needs or the concepts. We don't have contact with any particular officer when such inquiries have been made. I've been compelled oftentimes to even call the director or the advisor, presidential advisor on health. Sometimes I try to get the minister or the vice and so forth. So I believe that now we must structure so that at least at any point in time, the mission and the GBA will know the needs so that we can also be recommended. So, I mean, people come, they want to help, they don't know how to go, I don't know how I can tell them to. So, you know, so I think that is important for that. And for the GDP, it's a very big responsibility. I know that you are all offering your service pro bono. You know how
that
you've been dealing with all these things very hard. Probably, you then must think of how
we can also position ourselves so that we can reduce the frustration, right? Somebody may come to me and say, oh, well, you know, in Ghana, we just have something, you may know how best you can assist. Get in touch with them, give them the particulars. But then, I know you are all private people, often pro bono services. So, you should also consider that aspect. I believe this is the beginning. As we go along, we'll try and improve it and reduce the frustration that everybody has. I've told people that, no, I mean, you can't just come to our country and decide to do anything. You don't know our needs. Yeah. All right? Yes. But then, we must know the needs. And also, I propose that equipment. People will come, oh, we have 100 beds, we don't know how to dispose of them and so forth. Well, I mean, they think that the High Commission will come, you have all the information. But then we don't even know whether the beds are needed and where they are needed. So, I think general, I'm going to take your particulars and then I get a lot of pressure. I mean, because I believe in getting things done. I mean, that's it. So this means if comprehensively we don't have it, let's try and get it so that putting this thing forward.
Open the door.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Open the door.
Right. I see a few hands up.
Just open it.
Yeah.
But before that, we're going to go to Professor Alfred Yorsen, who's online. I'm going to find out from him, Professor Yorsen. We see you here, live and clear. What are the specific requirements that a GDDA member who wants to come to Ghana and become part of your faculty, what are the specific requirements that you would say are needed so we can position ourselves and know what to do? Thank you. Oh, by the way, he's speaking
on the side. Thank and glad to be here. Unfortunately, I had to attend a conference in Senegal with prevented me from joining you physically. As the discussion has gone, yes, in fact, we are already benefiting so much from our diasporan colleagues in the University of Ghana Medical School and my other sister school. So we appreciate the efforts and the contributions. There are different ways, and one of the ways become adjunct professors or adjunct lecturers or part-timers or visiting scholars. In all these, there are some conditions that must be satisfied through the university. So what we agree on with the college and the medical and dental council is if we go through the association, go through Medical and Dental Council, Ghana College of Physicians, it makes it easier for us in the medical school to also make use of your service. If there is a particular interest of getting affiliated with the university, then there are specific ways, as I mentioned, we can have a part-time arrangement, it can be easily facilitated, we can have adjunct positions. The adjunct position, unfortunately, is tied to availability of slots. And now we have limitations to public sector employment and other. It makes it a little challenging. But there are other means of getting support. And we currently have, for example, our colleagues psychiatrists in the UK providing services to the medical school in Accra. For psychiatry, during the psychiatry rotation, sometimes virtually, sometimes on-site visits. So there are ways we can benefit from you, and I believe and agree that going through the GDA path through the Medical and Dental Council, the Ghana College, will facilitate the affiliation to the various universities, not only University of Ghana, to all the other sister medical schools, and your services will be highly appreciated, and depending on which affiliation you want, whether part-time, agent, or visiting scholar, it can be quickly looked at. And we are all proactive and positive in this regard to facilitate this arrangement. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul. Very, very insightful. And thank you so much for joining us as well from Senegal. Amazing. I'm going to pose the same question to Professor of Dentistry, Professor Sandra Hewlett. What does it take women of farmers or one to join faculty?
Thank you very much. And I think Alfred has already mentioned a few, so I'm not going to retreat them. But what I would also add is sometimes somebody comes and says, so I don't have this particular qualification or I don't have that qualification. How can I still help? There's still room to do so. How do we do it in mentorship? One thing I find is, and it's been happening, donating is not really been official, but the young ones sometimes, when you see somebody from either the UK or the US, and they're in your class, they're teaching you, they're giving you a different perspective, they're giving you more experience, it adds some value to their life. And so I want to say thank you. Thankfully, we have two dentists here, our honorary secretary, who is also a part-timer back home. So she comes in to help us out. Pamela, thank you very much. The Nachapo also does that for us. And it's a rich experience. The students always say, why? Because the work ethic here sometimes is different from Ghana. And that experience that we bring to bear makes the difference. I would also say another opportunity to help. From Eva put it beautiful. He said you be our external training center. It could be the other way. Sometimes our students come on electives. So when they get to the 50th or the 60th, they have the opportunity to go outside to do electives. So for example, and it's very competitive. This year, I felt so sad when I had to select 2 out of 5 students who wanted to go to UPenn. They were broken. But if there's collaboration with us, I can come and work in your dental surgery faculty. It's a form of a training, a learning experience. Maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it helps awesomely. The third way we could go about it is research. Over the times, especially for us in dental school, we've had new research projects, and so it's not on a large scale. But this opportunity for us to collaborate would be great. Where we're having multi-center studies, big, large-scale studies, it's more impactful, it's easier to get grants that way, because there's a wider range of expertise and experience when you're looking for grants. So it's a huge field for exploration. And I really want to thank the executives for doing this, and I hope we make maximum use of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We have a few hands still up in the middle. Yes, please, from North America and Egypt.
All right. My name is Gabriel Asumi, president of the Ghana Physicians and Surgeons Foundation of North America. Forgive me for saying that I did everything I could to come here today on my own budget. Just to reinforce that this process actually works. It took us a little bit of learning and asking questions, and with patience from Professor Adanu and Dr. Manjubala, I think it was all the way from April when we had a conference, and in late June we submitted our first set of applications, which were 3. And within 2 weeks I was able to walk to the Medical and Dental Council and pick permanent licenses for myself and 2 of my colleagues in North America.
Wow.
In 2 weeks! So the frustration part of it is gone. Please and please, we on our side here need to learn to be patient. Any change of mindset that happens overnight is a revolution. And this is a partnership that has enormous potential. I've been going back to Ghana for about 7 years now, and I see this as a change of tone and spirit and attitude that is healthy, holistic. And if we are patient and we work together, we are moving healthcare delivery in our nation to a whole new level.
cities, they have, they know the system, they know what works and what doesn't work, and they know what we can bring. And if you go assuming that this is what the system needs, we will fail many times. For our colleagues who want to go, who are not Ghanaians, we have heard from the Director General that if we go through the system and we communicate well, we can even get the temporary licensing application fee paid for by the facilities we go to. So let's encourage everybody, let's publicize that. Go through GGDA UK if you are in the UK, go through GPSF if you are in the North American regions. And if you are in France or any other European country, affiliate with GGDA UK. Let's work together. Let's stop working in silos, because as we work together, we can get more done. The final statement I'd like to make is that thank you all very much for the work that you have put in to get healthcare delivery in Ghana to where we are, so that we all can collaborate and bring back some of the skills that have been acquired by those who have come to the diaspora to support. I think, let me add this. When you mentioned about mentorship and rotations, the lectures, I work with the University of Ghana School of Medical Sciences to be able to get about 6 to 8 students having rotation experiences this year. And this is just because I picked up this task recently, and we are working on laying the foundation to be able to set formal relationship with institutions. So, my colleagues here, let's find a platform where we can work together, learn from each other, support each other, guide each other, to be able to get our trainings back home, some of these opportunities. His Excellency, Papa Uso Ankman, from them might become a conversation that we have to reach out to the embassies to get some support. As you may be aware, our numbers are not that huge, and most of the work that is done is voluntary. So Dr. or Mr. Kijani is sacrificing his own time and sometimes his own money to get some of this work done. If we may plead, maybe a consideration of funding a permanent executive director for the organization here and in Ghana, some one individual who is full-time, and that's some of the major administrative work on behalf of the organization, can make us more impactful in recruiting, in structuring, and in facilitating a return on the skill set at home.
To our listeners,
Africa in Focus.
That's all we have.